Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Everybody get there, say amen.
Amen.
Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I do, Lord, ask for direction tonight. I ask, Lord, that you would give me boldness to say what I need to say. Give me sense enough to let you be my leadership and guidance. You laid this message on my heart. And Lord, help me to preach it tonight. It's my prayer that if anyone doesn't know you as Lord and Savior tonight or within the sounds of my voice as we put this on sermon audio, that Lord, they would come to know you. That is my heart's desire. It's with a heavy heart, some of the things we've had to do tonight, and even that I have to preach this message with reference to what we've discussed in our business meeting. But Lord, your will be done, not mine. And these things I pray in Christ's name, amen. Now, I wrote something down. It is with a heavy heart. And this is no doubt a very hard sermon that the Lord laid on my heart to preach. It's with love and care. And it's for the Lord's flock, which I've been called to pastor, to be the under-shepherd of. And it's a must that myself as your pastor, I'll be up front with you. I fear God more than man. This is without a doubt, I will be honest with you, the hardest message I've probably ever preached. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But there were false prophets, teachers, among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." You see, I want you to remember something. Jesus paid for the sins of all mankind, even false teachers. These things happen. We're living in those last days that Peter's talking about. Amen. There are false teachers among us. There are false pastors among us. There are no more prophets. If somebody tells you they're a prophet, you need to get away from them. Yeah. They're not a prophet. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse 28, actually verse 27. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Paul says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." If you study this, by the way, you'll know that there were pastors that were standing there with him from churches, visible churches. It's who he said this to. And he says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember." And then he said that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. If I said that, I would have to say for the last, since 2013, I've been warning you of these things. I was preaching one evening here, and We were actually discussing some of these exact verses. There was a man that come through that door, and I will not say a name. Some people know who I'm going to say, who I'm talking about. The minute he come around that wall, there was a voice inside of me. That's the Holy Spirit talking to me. He said, "There's one of your wolves in sheep's clothing." And sure enough, I mean, it startled me when I heard that, because it was that plain. And I just went on preaching. That was a warning for me, and it proved right. Sister Annie used to sit right there. Sweetest, one of the sweetest ladies I've ever known. Black woman from Texas. Every now and then she would testify in the middle of the preaching. I didn't have a problem with it. Some people looked at her like, "Whoa, are you okay?" But she was happy. She always wore a hat. She told me one time, actually, the very next Sunday, she told me, she said, "Pastor, you know that person, he's a snake in the grass." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do." And it proved to be so. That is my job, to tell you these things, to warn you of these things. What is the importance of Sunday school, preaching hour, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible studies that we have? I want to tell you that. I'm going to show you in the scripture what the importance of it is. But I want you to think about that. What is the importance of it? What's the importance of you studying the Word of God, your own little devotions? I will tell you, be careful who you read after. Be careful who you listen to. Because there are some problems with these people. There's people out there that'll give you just enough, but you can get in big trouble. Go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. "And he gave some..." Now, I want you to back up and think about something. In Ephesians, who is the Apostle Paul talking to? The church at Ephesus. Not everybody out there that would lived in Ephesus, but the church at Ephesus. Which, by the way, eventually other churches read the book of Ephesians. It was told to be passed on. So was 1st and 2nd Timothy, because it was important at Ephesus, because that's who was the pastor, that not only did those at Ephesus know how to choose a pastor and how to choose deacons and the qualifications, it needed to be at all churches. Ephesians 4:11, he said, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." For what purpose? He tells us. For the perfecting of the saints. Who's the saints? The saved. That's who's talking about. I know that if your mother Guadalupe, bless her heart, I hope she's in heaven. I don't know if she is. If she trusted the Lord Jesus, she is. I know they sainted her and they've sainted this. Listen, when you got saved, when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you became a saint. The word saint, and through denominations, has been horribly defiled. Taught wrong. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." What's the work of the ministry of the church of Ephesus? To tell others about Jesus. To disciple each of their members of what they... Listen, Timothy, bless his heart, had an unreal job. Ephesus was not your sweet place. It's kind of like Las Vegas, but more so corrupt. And that was his job. That's what our job is to teach people, and it's for the work of the ministry. for the edifying of the body of Christ, the body that was there located in Ephesus. I don't know the name of the church at Ephesus. We chose Wagon Wheel Missionary Baptist Church. Lone Mountain chose Lone Mountain Missionary Baptist Church. There's a little church in Mesquite. It was, and by the way, I knew the pastor there. It was a scriptural church. It was the, what was the name of it? Community Church in Mesquite. We'll go with that.
Christian Community Church.
And that was their job. The ministry. It was to edify the body of Christ. Till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When are you going to be perfect? The rapture. So in meantime, we are to work at that, maturing in the Lord Jesus Christ. 14, that we henceforth, in other words, from here out, be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive you. The whole idea of the Word of God and of the preaching and of us coming to Sunday school, to preaching hour, to Sunday night services, to Wednesday night, to doing devotions, to coming to Bible studies, Lord help us when we get that fired up, is to help us become more mature so that we don't get tossed to and fro. Can I offer another gospel? Shut the door. You're better off not to talk to them. They come in twos for a purpose. Because when you try to talk to one, the other one's jacking you up. That's the whole idea. They got the ones that show up, and there are many here tonight that know what I'm talking about. They bring you the Watchtower catalog. Listen, take it from them if you got a fireplace. If you don't, take it and throw it in the trash. Because if you don't, they're going to give it to somebody else. Okay? But don't read it. It's full of hogwash. It's full of lies. You don't want it. Take the Book of Mormon if they'll give it to you. Amen. Take it. You may need to start a fire one day. Put it somewhere where nobody will mess with it. That's about all it's good for. They are peddling poison, and they will send you to hell because, bless their hearts, they're deceived too. But the Bible says don't look at them and say, well, God bless you. 2 John 10 and 11. We'll get to that in a minute. Where was that? Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things, which is the head of even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let me get you to understand something. This particular body of Christ, we have just experienced a broke leg. That's basically what has happened. Sometimes you experience smash that thumb and a nail comes off. The entire body, listen, have you ever done that? I mean, talking, draw the blood up there and it turns black. Your whole body hurts. When one of us hurts in some way, form, or fashion, the whole body hurts. That's what, listen, the worst surgery I've ever had, and I've had a few, I've had some broke bones. They took my toe, I won't go into whole detail, but I couldn't put my foot down for 3 months. Miserable surgery. And it ain't much better now. But just that toe, that little bitty small part, has caused my entire body grief. So to the point I was taking what they were giving me. And I finally said, well, no, I don't want no more of them. Because I had a problem with that years ago. And it's like, I don't need any more. You keep them, I'll put up with the pain I'm getting. They took the joint out of my little toe because it was gone anyway. So they cleaned it all out. My little toe just kind of flops. If I hang it on something, it'll bend. Ain't no problem there at all. I never understood how important the little toe was. I always thought, what a waste of time for that little thing to be there. I mean, you can't do nothing with it. Try walking without it. Do you ever see me stagger around? It ain't all because I'm drinking. It's because, no. It's not all because of medicines or I'm just stumbling around. It's because I've had problems with balance ever since. Those little bitty parts of your body causes problems for the whole body. That's what happens. Now that we've fixed it, we got to mend and go on. We got to mend our necks and we go on. And the one thing I want you to understand, whenever we're doing the wrong thing, you're not going to have any problems. Everything's going to go smooth. It'll, you just come to church, everything will be just happy, and everybody sings Kumbaya, and we'll all hold hands and hallelujah, we're doing so good. When, you know what, we're being stupid. Whenever we're serving the Lord and we're doing what the Lord wants, I promise you there will be an attack on this body. When we got attacked Sunday, blindsided me, I'm serious. I've been blindsided in my life, but it was like, boom, and I'm like, wow. Immediately, I told her, I said, well, look at what's happening at Wagon Wheel. Do you think the devil's going to sit back and relax? No. He's got to put a stop to what's going on. That's his goal. He don't mind us coming to church. He just don't want us serving the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's true. He don't want us serving the Lord. Now, let me get back to where I'm, because I'm chasing things around. I'm good at that, ain't I? Somebody say amen. I want you to understand, when you seek godly counsel, you need to, and we all need godly counsel.
Amen.
We sat down, I've got about one, two, three, I've got about four pastors that I've known over the years, a couple of them have been my pastors, that I'll talk to. Because if I get some harebrained idea of this or that, I'm like, wait a minute. No, I better do some checking. And I'll talk to them. And if they differ with me, it's like, well, if they want to be wrong. No. If they differ from me, it's like, wait a minute. I need to back up and think about what I'm reading here and what I'm getting out of that. And I start praying about it. I'm going to be honest with you. The Lord will reveal it to you, and He'll use godly people to do so. But if you want to get away from being a drunk, you don't go to the bar and talk to another drunk. You go to the right people and you talk with them, and we must do that. I read it this morning, Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Listen, you don't want to open the door to the devil. He'll cause you problems. And when we get ungodly counsel, that's what we're doing. We're giving place to Satan. Now, honestly, what's the Bible say about these kind of people, the false teachers? What do we do with those people? And here's the sad part. When they're friends, when they're loved ones, what do we do? Well, the Bible tells us, and there's a bunch of scripture here that tells us, so we may be jumping around. You might just want to write it down. It's up to you. But go to the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy. That's in the T's. 2 Timothy. Come on. I know they're in here. I just got to find them. Titus. I'm going backwards. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." We're living in the last days. "For men shall be lovers of themselves, their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from what?" That's a hard thing. "From such turn away." Romans chapter 16. The book of Romans. We've got about 6 scriptures to go through. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." If it's different from what's in here, that's what it just said. What you've been learning, what is in the Word of God, if it differs from that, Timothy said, turn away. Well, Paul said, turn away in Timothy when we read it. Paul says in Romans, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're enemies of God by teaching false things and by stirring discord. You turn away. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You're right there at Corinthians. Go over to chapter 5, verse 11. "But now I have written unto you, not to keep company if any man is called a brother, be a fornicator, covetous, idle, idolatry, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, which such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I figured the best way to do it is not give you gemology, it's to give you God's Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter... No, I lied to you just then. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. "Now we commend you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." 2 Timothy chapter 6. Excuse me. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm glad you paid attention. I was just seeing if you was. Sounds good, huh? Verse 1 through 5. "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren. but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:5. Did we read that already? Okay, we read that one already. Go with me to the book of 2 John and we're going to end. It's way back there in the back. If you get to Revelation, back up here. 2 John, chapter 1, because there's only one chapter. 2 John, and we're going to read verse 10 and 11. Well, now let's read verse 9. 8, we'll back up to 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Verse 10 and 11. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds.